Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cover songs, should you record them or just focus on your own material?
In this episode, we're going to dive into the pros and cons of recording cover songs.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's B-Sides, a show where we share material that doesn't quite fit in with our weekly interview series. Here on B-Sides, we focus on empowering musicians and all creatives to craft careers by arming you with the tools you need to make it in the entertainment industry. So if you're new here, consider subscribing.
We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I am singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcio Novelli from Canada. When I'm not making music or doing this show, I'm producing records and directing music videos. Speaking of which, if you'd like to work together, hit me up on any of my socials.
Before we jump into the episode, we just want to let you know that we are on Patreon and you can become a Bridger from as little as a dollar per month. You'll gain access to our exclusive Encore series featuring never-before-seen videos with our guests, and your support will allow us to keep bringing you weekly videos here at Bridge the Atlantic.
And lastly, you can also head on over to our website to pick up one of our shirts. Use the coupon code BTARocks to receive 20% off your purchase.
So today, we are going to be talking all about covers and whether or not you should record them.
Yeah, there's so many artists out there recording covers, especially on YouTube. There's like a whole landscape of it. It can be very competitive. So let's talk about some of the reasons why you should or maybe shouldn't record covers and how they can benefit or complement your original material.
There's two types of artists who cover songs. There's artists who don't write their own material, but they are talented at interpreting other people's material. Mm-hmm. And those who do write their own songs, but also enjoy performing songs that are written by other people. And I think they all have their own place. And usually there's kind of different goals in mind, depending on which side of the coin you're on.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be of the mind, if you don't write your own songs, you have no talent, right? I think it's appreciating the different types of talent. You know, they might have something that they really want to express, but they just don't have the knack for sitting down and being able to to express that. But man, you know, if you ever heard an amazing singer, they can express something even if they didn't write it and move you to tears, you know. Of course, having said that, I think both of us can agree our favorite artists are definitely those who write their own songs.
At least co-write their own songs.
Yeah, because I would for sure any day choose an artist who might not be the best singer, but they're just expressing something that's deep from within their own soul, than somebody that is has an amazing voice but is singing someone else's song. But there is a place for both of them. You know, and I respect that, you know, but I would also argue that there's a third reason, I guess, to record why an artist might cover a song. And this can apply to either type of, you know, whether you're strictly a cover artist or sing other people's material, if you're an original artist like myself that sometimes cover songs. And that might be to simply pay homage, you know, to one of your favorite artists. We see this especially if they recently have passed. You know, this is something we saw with Chester Bennington of Linkin Park, you know, right after he passed away, tragically last year. You know, I think right away you saw a lot of covers come out almost a little too quickly.
Yeah, I think it's important that it is coming from a genuine place. Mm-hmm. I think people can see through it when you're trying to capitalize on something like that, and it really, it just feels wrong. Mm-hmm. Please don't do that solely for promotional reasons. It's a bad look.
It's kind of feel right to you. Like,
it's kind of inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like, considering Linkin Park have been one of my absolute favorite bands for nearly 20 years, you know, it's actually taken me almost a year to work on the cover that I started, you know, in homage to Chester and the band. You know, I didn't feel quite right. Just, I saw everyone doing it and it was just kind of like, you know, I didn't want to, a part of me really wanted to cover a song for the right reasons, but the other part of me being very heartbroken and also I didn't want to just capitalize on this. Everyone's searching Chester Bennington, and you know, on the one hand, if you're thinking just of your music career and getting new fans, yeah, go ahead and do it. But I'm more interested in being respectful to the artist. You know what I mean? And it's a fine line, you know, but you just get the sense that some people are like, oh, look at this, Chester died. People are going to be searching for this. I'm going to do a cover. And it's disingenuous. It feels wrong. But I think coming from the right artist, it feels right. You know, I mean, even for me, I think people knew that I was a huge fan of Linkin Park. It wouldn't have seemed weird, but I still just didn't want to put out that vibe, you know. But having said that, you know, when Gord Downie of the Tragically Hip passed away of cancer last year, I covered my favorite song by them, which is Ahead by a Century, like immediately, you know, I released it a few days later. But I feel like the difference was that we knew that he was going to pass for like 2 years. It was coming. You know, it wasn't a shock. It was terrible. It was still very sad, you know, and it was very, very sad. But it was different. I think it was very much like, okay, it's happened now, you know, let me pay homage. And I got a really good response from that. And I really did it just from my heart. And it was, I did it more for people who I knew were fans, because I love the band, but I have an uncle who is, it's his absolute favorite band for like 20 years. Kind of like how it is for me with Linkin Park, right? Yeah, so, you know, yeah. He really appreciated it. He said he was moved to tears, and it meant a lot to him, you know, for me to do that. So, you know, I feel like that was different than, you know, a suicide. Very tragic, very shocking. It's hard to explain. I think you just have to listen to your own voice. You know, this was just my experience.
I think like one of the ways you can think of it is like if you're recording something and it's, you know, it is an artist that you really like, or there is some kind of emotional reason that you're recording it, people will sense that and they'll feel that. But I think when it's coming from someone who's completely not related to the artist in any way whatsoever, like they're not really a fan of them, or there's not really any reason for them to be doing it other than, you know, to appear on search results, for example, like on YouTube.
Just to throw back a little bit there, having said that, I've done covers ranging from Taylor Swift's Bad Blood to Slipknot's Wait and Bleed, but the thing is, I actually like both of those artists, you know,
in
at different points, you know, and I can respect, they're completely different artists, but at the end of the day, they write great songs, you know, and I don't care about genres, you know. Definitely I grew up a lot more with the, you know, the Slipknots and everything from Slipknot to Green Day to Nirvana to Smashing Pumpkins to Bush to Thursday to all these different bands to My Chemical Romance, The Used. I could throw all these different bands that I kind of went through at different stages. You know, why ever limit yourself? You know, but I also have grown to appreciate the pop artists too. But I think for me, I think people know that I'm eclectic and I listen to a lot of different stuff. But at the end of the day, though, even though I've covered songs by artists that you would never think of being within the same world, because they're not, I genuinely do like the song. So Bad Blood, I think, is such an awesome song, and stripping it down to acoustic arrangement brings out the heart of it. And same with Wait and Bleed. It's such an, you know, beautiful, wonderful song, right? So I know what you're saying, though, but I think maybe it has to just be genuine, and some artists,
No, I'm talking more about specifically when that artist passed away.
Oh, okay.
If that feels like the only reason someone's doing it is to capitalize on it, then I think that's where it's wrong. But I totally encourage people to record stuff that's kind of out with their normal, the normal kind of genre or area that you would expect.
That's,
you know,
exactly why I did it. Those are both, I'm not in either one of those worlds, and it's kind of,
but
like
you appreciate the songwriting, and that's, I think, ultimately where it comes from.
Absolutely. But even going back to the experience, because you just mentioned when an artist passed, you know, for me, because I was such a fan, or still am a fan of Linkin Park, you know, I was heartbroken and needed some time before I could even dive into that emotional territory, you know. But then again, you know, it depends on where you're at, you know. Sometimes for me, like with the Tragically Hip, that actually was part of my grieving experience for that artist, was to do that, you know. But everyone comes from a completely different place when it comes to that. So
totally. And, you know, to bring up the subject of covers and, you know, what, maybe kind of take this into the direction of where they can lead. Mm-hmm. Our guest, Summer Sweesing, she had one of her covers shared by Skrillex because it was a piano version of one of his songs. Mm-hmm. And Cirque Survive invited her on tour after they saw her piano cover of one of their songs. And I think it's interesting to kind of talk about, you know, covering songs that mean something to you or some that you really relate to, because they are two of her favorite artists. Mm-hmm. And I think it was really cool for her to then, you know, see the songs being shared and then, you know, accompanying Circus Survive on tour was a pretty huge thing for her. So I think you never know what's going to happen when you post a cover. I think kind of go in not expecting anything, but you never know what it could lead to. It could lead to something pretty huge. And well, I think, Marcio, you've got an example.
Speaking of which, yeah, I mean, I've only recorded in the last, I used to do covers way back in the day, just for myself. It's kind of how I learned how to write songs. I'm talking like many, many years ago. And then, you know, I did them over the years, but only recently did I start actually recording cover songs and cover videos. Once in a while, I've only done about six or eight. I don't even know how many I've done. And literally just did them because, one, I like the song. And two, it really is a way, just like with Summer Sweezing, to maybe attract people that would never have heard of you in the first place. You know, in my opinion, you can't strictly do it for that, because that's, again, disingenuous. I truly do it because I love the artist and or love the song, you know. And
you're normally doing something different with it as well. You're not just doing
that. Yeah, that's the idea. I want to take something that is, you know, either pop or metal or, you know, of any genre, really, a punk or pop, I don't know, and bring it to the way I do covers, which is usually just stripped down with my acoustic guitar, piano, and some strings, you know, and really get to the heart of the song, because sometimes people don't realize this is actually a really beautiful song if you just strip mm-hmm. it down. And another way is I can actually introduce people that would maybe never listen to Slipknot, for example, you know, but might listen to my music because I've maybe done a cover. But in the other way around too, you know, it does attract people who, like that artist, never heard of me, and all of a sudden are respecting what I do and take the time to go listen to my original material. So there's a lot of different angles from it. Again, I do it strictly because I want to pay homage, and I want to interpret something. And it's kind of a cool exercise for me to take that and get it down to the heart of the song, because it always reminds me with my own songwriting, is for me at least, if the song works with just an acoustic guitar in my hand and I'm singing it, it's a good song. And it's funny, all these songs I cover work like that because they're great songs, despite the way they've been released and what genre or what production or what style, right? So having said that, one of the covers I recently did, I just did it because I like the band, 30 Seconds to Mars. Anyone that's tuned into the show knows I love the
we'll
band.
Well, know that Marcio
knows
likes
I mentioned her little several times. I joke around fanboying. I totally joke around, but really I just respect the artist and band. I'm a little too old to be fanboying at this point. But no, seriously, I just respect it. But anyways, long story short, I did a cover of 30 Seconds to Mars' song Dangerous Night. And the next day, the band's team shared it not only on Twitter, but Facebook, collectively to over 10 million people. You know what I mean? So that definitely reached a whole new audience I didn't expect. I've gotten new people checking out my material from it. That was a bonus. That's not the reason I did it, but it was just fantastic. You know, and I think that that's, this is not particularly a new thing. You know, I know you and I have both discovered artists because of covers, and I'm so glad they did that cover. So whether or not their reasoning was just to pay homage or because they wanted to reach a new audience, thank you. I'm a fan of you now, and I wouldn't have heard of you otherwise. And hey, it doesn't take tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of money and promotion, because people don't realize that's how you find out most artists, you know? Just a simple cover song.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, a couple of really quick examples. I mean, Kina Granis is someone that I found through her YouTube covers. I mean, I love her original music, but I probably wouldn't have heard it without the covers kind of leading me in, you know, mm-hmm. like that gateway drug, I guess. And there's various pop punk bands as well that I found through the Punk Goes .. compilations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I mean, it used to be very popular in the new metal world to kind of cover artists. I mean, Limp Bizkit, love them or hate them, they I don't think they would have been as big as they were if they didn't cover a Faith by none other than George Michael. Can't think of two completely different artists. You know, Orgy did Blue Monday, amazing rendition of that. Marilyn Manson, another artist that broke through because he covered Sweet Dreams by Arithmetics. And he even did Tainted Love, I think a decade later, that boosted his career again. And there's even artists that have covered songs that end up becoming, their versions end up becoming more popular than the original. You know, like we all know Whitney Houston's rendition of Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we all think of Whitney Houston when we think of that song, not Dolly Parton anymore. Even Aretha Franklin, Respect wasn't her song. She was doing a cover.
It's crazy.
So, you know, it's amazing what a cover can do. So, you know, obviously if you write your own material, don't stop writing your material, but don't be afraid to incorporate it.
Do a bit of both. I think that's probably a good place for us to wrap up. We'd love to hear from you about some covers that we should check out, maybe that you think are better than the original, mm-hmm. Or even just let us know what you're planning to cover next.
Yeah, and if you get a chance to check out my covers, let me know what you think I should cover. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So if you want to find us, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Don't forget to visit our website and pick up one of our shirts while you're there.
Tongue twister. I'm working on my new solo album. You can check out my music on Spotify and iTunes, just about everywhere and anywhere you like to stream or download music. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli. I had to balance out the fast with the slow.
I noticed that. So I am working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Social Surge, your source for social media, marketing, and online music promotion. All links are in the description, so please check them out because they do our us.
They keep the show alive, and I'm glad that you got tongue twisted too. If you would also like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. We have recently updated our rewards, which now include sponsorship at the start of our interviews, as well as an opportunity for you to co-host an episode of Bridge the Atlantic, and of course, gain access to our new Encore series. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any episodes, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think
about
the show.
I'm out of here. That's it for B-Sides. We'll be back next week with a brand new interview. See you guys. Bye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.